south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander.
Hello there, all you expat wannabes. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you just what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. It's a mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, and it's all right here, so let's get started. We talk about the real estate bubble down here in Latin America quite a bit. So the question is, how much bigger can that bubble expand before it explodes, or more realistically, implodes? If you study how the game's played down here, you'll see it's reached its limits. Rents are going down and the local real estate brokers are starting to get into a panic. In fact, I'm starting to see on those big billboards on the Pan American Highway something I've never seen before. Some real estate developers are now offering cash back, which is always a sign that someone is panicking. And if you remember, I mentioned in a previous show, all kinds of billboards are popping up now saying you can pay your down payment in 12 easy payments. Which is completely counter to sound banking practices, because what's a down payment anyway? It's proof you've saved enough money up to have skin in the game, right? However, if you have to pay the down payment in payments, that means you're not a good risk at all. It's a sign you have very little disposable income and you just can't save money. Not to mention, signs like that are appearing in the auto and the credit market too. For example, just the other day I saw a string of billboard ads by Honda offering a $2,000 cash back. That's another ad ploy that was totally unheard of just a year or so ago. Yeah, I know. That kind of stuff was around in the States 20 or 30 years ago, but that's how lag time is here in Latin America. And you know, all those first world tricks advertisers play on dumb consumers came home to roost the other day for me when I read an article in the paper talking about credit card interest rates here in Latin America. Turns out the average APR, the annual percentage rate on Latin credit cards, Visa, MasterCard, and they've got one called Credomatic too, is 40%. And of course, every Latin person who doesn't have a credit card or 2 or 10 longs to have one. They have no idea what kind of interest rate they're paying and they really don't care. And the fact is, every Latin person I know keeps their balance running too. They never pay it off every month, so they're all paying 40% or more. But that's not all. The article said when you count the list of charges and hidden fees that show up on your credit card statement, if you even read it, that kicks the average APR rate up to over 50%. Now, if you compare that with U.S.-based credit cards, Visa, MasterCard, etc., as of May 2016, the average APR is 16.5%. Then when you factor in all the hidden charges and fees, penalties and such, we're talking about an average of 20% a year. That's what you're paying up in Tucson, Miami, and Cleveland. So you can see the fix is in and the gouge is on, and Latin Americans don't really seem to give a rat's tush. Because, you see, the most important thing of all for them is to be gringo and first world-like and have as many credit cards as possible. Hey, sounds like the good old days back in the 80s and 90s, huh? So what about gringos and expats? Well, as soon as we open a bank account down here, whether it's with an SA corporation or in your own name, you automatically get debit cards. One in the local funny money and one in dollars. At least that's what you should request. By the way, you're always better off having two accounts in the same bank, one in dollars and one in the local funny money. Of course, we're not talking about countries like Panama, El Salvador, and Ecuador that use U.S. funny money exclusively. Then, of course, you only have one bank account in U.S. fiat money. Obvious, but not so obvious to people who've never been down here and see that they only use U.S. dollars. But do note, since the vast majority of gringos and expats do not live in those countries that use the U.S. dollar, pay attention now. You will want two bank accounts in the same bank, one in the local funny money and one in dollars, and that dollar account will be the more important of the two. Especially since many gringos and expats, and almost all retired gringos and expats, get Social Security, pension, or annuity money transferred down from the States or Canada or somewhere else in the first world in dollars. So, of course, it'll land in your Latin bank dollar account and will hopefully be building up there. So you'll have that as your kind of holding account. Now, some gringos and expats, especially backpacker types, will have just a local funny money currency account. And when a U.S. dollar wire transfer comes in, it'll instantly be switched over to that Latin country's funny money. Not a good idea unless you're living like a backpacker kind of day to day. What I'm saying is you don't want, for example, a $20,000 wire transfer being instantly switched into lempiras in Honduras, since most of the Latin currencies predictably lose ground against the U.S. dollar. So What I'm saying is you'll have a U.S. dollar holding account. However, you'll be buying and spending with the local funny money, so you'll have to have that money converted into colones, pesos, bolivars, lempiras, whatever. And the best and easiest way to do that, and the way to get the best conversion rate, is to have the two accounts in the same bank and use your online banking system to transfer dollars into the local funny money account. And then you can either withdraw the local funny money from an ATM machine or use your local funny money, peso or lempira debit card or credit card to buy and pay for things in your chosen Latin country. And with that U.S. dollar account, you'll get a U.S. dollar debit card too, automatically. I say just hide that away somewhere. Don't use it in your chosen Latin country. It's best to just use it to pull out money from ATMs when you're traveling through other Latin countries, or Europe, or wherever, but I wouldn't use it back in the States because then you're starting up a brand new paper trail and that's what you're trying to avoid, right? Oh, and one more thing. The dollar and funny money account you get in the same bank will both be checking accounts too. And whether you use them or not is up to you, but I prefer not to. I mean, if you want a small footprint and a low profile, use cash as much as possible. That's what most smart expats do anyhow. By the way, I always recommend debit cards over credit cards because with debit cards, you pay no interest. There's no monthly fee and there's no danger of you spending money you don't have. And believe me, just like up in the States, the sales department at your local Latin bank will try to talk you into getting a credit card because you are a gringo and automatically wealthy in their eyes and a very good risk. Oh, and don't give banks or any other commercial businesses your real phone number either, or you'll get pestered to death with text messages trying to get you to buy that stuff too. And yes, businesses will hand your data and phone number to other businesses, so beware of that. Remember, you and only you are in charge of protecting your own privacy, and besides that, in Latin America, there's no one to sue. And to paraphrase the ever-quotable expat Eddie, he says, the third best feeling in the whole world is waking up in the morning and knowing you got no debt, you got no creditors, and you got no biker repo man beating on your door. So then what are the first and second best feelings in the world? Well, Eddie's not saying, but you can guess. Oh, and speaking of credit and credit card debt, we mentioned in a show a couple of months ago that some consumer groups were lobbying to have laws to place a ceiling on credit card annual percentage rates. Oh, and I mentioned Latin consumer groups have been popping up too. 3 or 4 years ago, those things just didn't exist. At least they never got publicity or any traction. But today, you do see them in the news and you even see them picketing out in front of government buildings on occasion. Anyway, just recently, consumer groups were successful in putting a cap, a limit on credit card interest in a number of Latin countries. But guess what? After a couple of months, suddenly those new laws were suspended because banks and credit card companies realized they'd tapped into a real windfall. Now, remember, until very recently, banks down here had been very, very strict with real estate and building loans. In order to build a house or a project, you had to have 20% down or more. Big skin in the game to get a loan. So banks, as a rule, do not have many home loans on their balance sheets. In other words, banks down here are run very conservatively, like banks were run in the 50s, 60s, even the 70s in the States. Of course, now with the Latin real estate bubble stretched to the limit, creative and ultimately very risky finance options are popping up all over the place. Now, just imagine if you were on the board of a bank, a stodgy old conservative one, just chugging along, getting 6, 8, 10% interest on building loans and car loans, etc., and suddenly this credit card thing comes along, something they've been doing up in the first world for a long, long time, and everyone wants one and are willing to pay 40% or more interest a year on their balances. Well, that's like taking a guy who's used to smoking a joint or two on a weekend and inviting him to compete against Willie Nelson and Snoop Dogg in the Bob Marley annual Bong Fest Smokeout Weekend. So anyway, somehow Latin consumer groups lobbied enough to get some laws passed to put limits on credit card APRs. Well, it sounded good, but there was big blowback and it didn't last long. Because right away, the banks, the card issuers, and the big retail store chains got together and in the time-honored Latin tradition started bribing Congress. So what else is new, huh? Now, you know, if you're a free thinker or leaning towards libertarianism, you'd be inclined to say, well, good, let the free market work. Credit card companies can charge what they want, etc. No one forces anyone to get a credit card. And if the uninitiated, uninformed public get burnt along the way, they learn their lesson and next time around do a little research. Or not. Okay, moving on a bit. You know what I've been seeing a lot lately here in Latin America? Food trucks. I mean, food trucks that have been imported from up in the States. selling sandwiches, burgers, hot dogs, tacos, and all that. It seems like that's unregulated down here too, especially since they're mobile. I've spoken to a couple of people who have these trucks and there's no permits or paperwork involved. That includes any kind of license or inspection to sell whatever. But I will tell you this, I haven't seen any gringos in these trucks, though you'd think there would be because they're actually trucks that have been sent down from the States with first world gringo English lettering and all, at least some faded remnants of it. A lot of these trucks that have made it down here, I'm sure, came down pretty much as rusted out junks, but Latins are very, very good at restoring vehicles. Even so, I'd say only maybe 1 out of 20 of these trucks is restored to something like tip-top shape. The rest, they're scratched and dented to various degrees, as are most things that pass for vehicles on the road here in Latin America. In fact, I'd say out of every 20 trucks, maybe 1 looks pretty new. The rest are beat up around the edges, as you might expect. Details, details, right? However, I've discovered there's kind of a first world gringo connection to this. Fact is, the other day I was driving past a dirt bike track. Yes, they have them down here. Though most of them don't have many dirt bikes, just kids with regular bikes pretending they have dirt bikes. Hey, no harm in that. When I was a kid, my buddies and I couldn't afford dirt bikes. We pretended too. Anyway, the guy and the Latin lady in the food truck were telling me about the food truck connection they had in Houston, Texas. Turns out she had a brother with a couple of food trucks up there. According to her, they were doing great for a number of years until recently. She said, too much competition. Guess what happens then? The business peters out, dies, or expands to guess where? Latin America. Especially if you've got relatives in a Latin American country who can learn from all your experience and mistakes. Oh, and by the way, not all these food trucks actually run. The other day I watched as a pickup truck towed a food truck that said Heroes and American Style Hot Dogs on it and dropped it off in front of a soccer field. Now, from what I see, there always seems to be some business in front of these food trucks. Again, believe it or not, it's part of the gringo advantage. As it happens, Latins who turn out for a weekend soccer match or whatever, it seems they actually prefer buying whatever from a truck that looks like it's been transplanted directly from a gringo land, the land of the American dream. And it doesn't hurt at all that the people who are working in the truck have t-shirts and sweatshirts with English sayings on them. But then again, so does everyone else down here. So again, it's all about having boots on the ground. Food trucks. Who would have thunk? 2 or 3 years ago, I never, ever saw a food truck here in Latin America. And now they're not only popping up here and there, I've noticed that some fairly high-end restaurants are developing their own food trucks. And what's strange about that is there are all kinds of ultra-cheap mom-and-pop kiosks and little hole-in-the-wall restaurants and food carts serving the local typical dishes. I mean, the competition is fierce, yet the food trucks are coming down here and making it, even though what they serve is a little more expensive. It's also about the gringoized food they offer, too. Providing that sort of first-world coolness factor, the local little mom-and-pop restaurants couldn't hope to match. So again, for all you gringos and expats up there who have a limited amount of cash, and you know that your nest egg isn't big enough so you could simply retire, and you're thinking you're going to need a stream of income eventually. The good news is that in Latin America, there are loads of low-budget business opportunities. And of course, when gringos and expats come down, they're always wondering how long their nest egg's going to last. They calculate their expenses over and over again, and in fact, some of them remain worrywarts for a long, long time, worrying about where that next income stream is going to come from, of course. Let's say you're a married couple and you figure you can get by in Latin America, living a nice, comfortable first world lifestyle on 20 grand a year. By the way, very easily done, especially off the gringo tourist trail. Anyway, if you have a nest egg or a reserve of, let's say, $100,000, if you come down and have absolutely no other revenue stream, that should last you 5 years, right? Though, no doubt about it, if you're like any other first world person, it'll bother you a bit. Yep, I've heard enough fresh new green gringos say, worst case, in 5 years I'll be dead broke. Then what? So I've been hearing stories like that from expat gonna-bes and wannabes for years and years now. And you know what generally happens? I'd say at least 80% of the time. They come down with, let's say, a 5-year projection that their money's all going to run out if they don't get a source of income. Then 5 years later, they look at their resources and say, I've got 5 years before my resources run out. That's the same answer I gave 5 years ago. Hey, nice job, but how'd that happen? That's because it's a whole different thing once you get your boots on the ground. You'll find there are always ways to supplement your income, though you'll be very limited if you're on the gringo tourist trail, especially in places like Costa Rica. Remember, rule number 1, you don't want gringos to be your competition. Your clients, yes, that's all right, but not your direct competition. That's why you want to be off the Gringo Tourist Trail or slightly off the Gringo Tourist Trail, unless you've got a one-of-a-kind product or have found a tremendous niche that needs to be filled. You'll see opportunities all the time. Okay, changing beers again. You caught that, right? Now, normally, when I run into a fairly educated group of young Latins, college kids and such, the ones that know a little English will try it on me. And after the ice is broken, we're all friends and kind of laughing it up, the more curious one or ones in the group will often start to ask me questions about what's happening up in the United States, things they see in the news that are confusing to them. Like, for example, what's with this preoccupation with transgender bathrooms up in the States? Man, if that isn't the stupidest, huh? Though I can't say the subject hasn't entered my world in some sense, too. Being that ever since I've been down here in Latin America, I've become kind of a habitual user of female restrooms. Not because I'm a pervert or anything, only because they're much cleaner and nicer. Yes, I've been in many public places where I've gone into the restroom where the sign on the door says mujeres, damas, or chicas. Yes, those are the three most common terms for ladies' rooms down here. Mujeres, damas, and chicas. It's funny because the direct English translation for mujeres is women or ladies. The English translation for chicas is girls or the slang chicks. And the English translation for dama is, get this, dames. You know, like dames in the old gangster movies. Yeah, dames. No, I don't think a sign on a public restroom in the States that said dames would go over very well. A lot of pissed off feminists might even be a little picketing. Unless, of course, you're a British dame like Dame Judi Dench, but there's only a few of those, so it's a completely different thing. Anyway, like I said, I've been using female restrooms in Latin America for years, and I recommend them. Why? Because Latin guys were brought up in the proverbial barn. In other words, their bathrooms are simply disgusting. And it all goes back to the fact that the world is their urinal. Whereas it's a completely different story for Latin women. They have a much stronger sense of propriety. They embarrass easily and, well, just are completely different from the male of the species down here. And you know, even with the Latin upper classes where they have multiple maids and cleaning ladies doing all the household chores and picking up after everyone, it's the men and the boys of the house that basically don't lift a finger. They're the ones trashing everything and never picking up after themselves. Whereas even in upscale Latin families, the ladies of the house, the girls, mom and such, will tell the cleaning lady or the maid that certain places are off limits, like their bedrooms, for example. That as opposed to Latin men and boys of all classes. They don't care. They're such slobs. They throw things everywhere. Never washed a dish or did a load of laundry in their lives, much less changed the sheets on their beds. So yes, even in the wealthier families, the cleaning ladies and maids are forever picking up after the males in the house. So you can imagine, or maybe you don't want to imagine, what it's like in the lower middle classes and poor people's houses. Believe me, the bathrooms are hell holes and generally stink to high heaven. Oh, and the bedrooms of the boys and men in the family? Well, you don't want to step foot in those places either. I've done it way too many times, and I try not to sit in certain places, if you know what I mean, and I try not to stare at things too much. So as far as Latin bathrooms, there's always a kind of a cold war going on, with the males of the house forever trashing them, and the women of the house never quite able to keep up with the mess. But I digress as usual. Oh yeah, I was talking about educated Latins who watch some first world TV, and they've been seeing that certain state legislatures have passed what they call bathroom bills, so that transvestites and transgenders, and in fact anyone, can use any public bathroom they like, depending on how they feel that day and how the hormones are running. By the way, I'm sure you know by now that restrooms are called baños down here. B-A-N-O-S. And the N is an enye, you know, a regular N with a squiggle over the top, called an enye. So then why do they call it a bathroom when maybe only one in 200 Latin bathrooms actually has a bathtub in it? But again, they picked that up from the first world because up in the States, bathtubs are being phased out too in lieu of showers, right? Of course, in most public places up in the States, they call them restrooms, right? But I've never seen anyone actually going in rest. However, that just might be what ladies do when they go into bathrooms in pairs. They might be resting. Who knows? That's always been kind of a mystery to us men folk. So anyway, I've admitted before on this show that I often used ladies' restrooms here in Latin America. Though I know if I got caught doing that up in the States that I'd probably get on some kind of watch list or pervert tracking website or something. God, I'm glad I don't live up there. Of course, I only use ladies' restrooms down here that have locking doors on them. I mean, really, I don't want to scare anyone in the middle of putting on her makeup. In fact, here's something else that only happens in Latin America. There have been times I've been standing waiting to use the restroom, but the door's locked, it's occupied, and a lady will walk out of the ladies' room and wave me in. No, not with her. She'll just say, go ahead, use this one. Again, it's got to be the gringo advantage because I've never seen that happen to a Latin guy. Certainly because Latin women know their men will just trash the place like they do at home. So anyway, in the last week or so, I've been asked, what's up with the bathroom legislation in the States? And truthfully, I could give a crap. Ouch. Was that necessary? Well, maybe. So then how did I answer those questions? I said, truthfully, it's just another diversion. To keep the real serious problems out of the minds of the American sheeple. Yep, it's bread and circuses, open bathroom legislation, gay marriage, and women in the military. Those are the real pressing issues, right? So again, it's just further proof that the first world news from up north, the sound bites we see in the Latin media down here, are filtered through the very same sensors that run the mass media up where you live. Thank God for the internet, huh? Oh, and you know what's big down here in Latin America now? Whether it's an anniversary, quinceañeros, graduation, birthday, special event, it would be covering your entire car with post-it notes. Now, I don't mean just, you know, one or two or a dozen. I'm talking about hundreds and hundreds of post-it notes. In fact, I've seen a dozen or so cars decked out like that in the last month or two. Let me tell you, it's a real mess in the rainy season, too. I understand if you try that move up in the States, you're likely to get a couple of tickets. One for littering, one for being a road hazard, one for inattentive driving, etc., etc. However, down here, the Latin cops play along with the game nicely. In fact, a couple of months ago, I even saw a cop car with a couple of hundred post-it notes on it. He was at the gas pump next to mine, and I said, what's that for? And he said, celebrating 20 years on the force. Then I congratulated him. What else could I do? And he proceeded to hit me up for 2 gallons of gas. Just living up to their motto, I guess. To serve, protect, and extort. Something like that, right? So anyway, down here, painting your car with post-it notes is a fun, kind of happy experience. However, up in Cleveland or Seattle, it could cost you a couple hundred bucks and you might get your car impounded too. Oh, and speaking of cars, now I've mentioned in the past many times that Latins have a personal space problem. Well, it's really not a problem to them, it's normal. To us, it's a problem. And they just love to park their cars within inches of yours, sometimes with the mirrors kissing. And you know, fresh green gringos, as nice as we are, will often leave a post-it note or a note under the windshield wiper, kind of advising the guy to park more carefully next time. And of course, we get very pissed off when people park in handicapped spots who don't belong there. Anyway, if you think writing a nice little windshield note's gonna work down here, forget about it. Latins just don't get the personal space thing. They never will. Oh, and one last thing about Latin bathrooms. Now, you'll find when you're out shopping at a tienda or a restaurant, sometimes you'll want to use the bathroom, and more often than not, the person behind the counter will say, no tengo, we don't have one. Then I'll usually say, well, then where do you pee? And you know, if I'm saying that to a woman, oftentimes she'll blush a bit and say, I'd let you use it, but my jefe, that would be my boss, doesn't allow clients to use the restroom. However, you are a gringo, and you have the gringo advantage, so often they'll let you use it even though it's against the rules. But of course, that doesn't happen 100% of the time. Just be prepared for that eventuality. So when there's hired help behind a counter, oftentimes they'll say, there is no bathroom. They're lying, of course. But if you happen to be at a mom-and-pop store and one of the owners is behind the counter, they'll be very obliging and often walk you through a door that leads to the living room or the kitchen, past the kids and the TV and the driveway chickens, and they'll let you use their own personal bathroom. I know what you're thinking. Damn, that Johnny's got weak kidneys. Nope, I'm just telling a story here. The difference is, you see, when you're dealing with the owners, mom and pop, they'll usually bend over backwards to accommodate you. In fact, one time I remember, the lady behind the counter, the owner, she walked me across the street to a competing tienda, and there they let me use the bathroom. Again, that's your gringo advantage. That'll rarely happen to Latin customers. Oh, and speaking of stores, the other day I was in a mall, in a clothing store. And you know, all the male mannequins are tall, muscular, and Caucasian looking. They're not short, dark, and brown like the average customer. However, when you're talking about female mannequins, about half of them are tall, white, Caucasian-looking too. Not much resembling the average Latina at all either. However, as I've mentioned in a past show, curvy but Colombian mannequins are starting to take over the showroom floors. You know, the Sofia Vergara big butt kind. And they really don't resemble the average Latina either, except a certain small percentage of girls from Brazil, Argentina, and Colombia. Anyway, I was in this men and women's clothing store, and there were a row of mannequins. Two of them had the voluptuous Colombian bodies, and two of them were the typical pale, tall, blonde Caucasian types. Now, I was standing a couple of feet away from a little girl and her mother. I overheard the little girl say, "Mamita, how come the maniquís," that's what they call them down here, maniquís, kind of like manatee, you know, the sea cows, good memory aid there, maniquí. She said, "Mamita, how come maniquís are so much prettier than other people?" And her mother, wouldn't you know, didn't miss a beat. She said, "Honey, that's because they don't eat." Now, there's a saying that should be on a t-shirt, huh? Okay, we're getting pretty close to the end right now. I'd like to remind you, my sign-up page for my January 2017 Expat Insider Seminar is all set up and ready to go. Just go to www.thenewexpat.com, click on Johnny's 2017 Seminar link at the top of the page, and that'll bring you to the information and sign-up sheet. Yes, it's quite a few months away, but I've had my arm twisted, and now I've put up the sign-up sheet. It's really all about people wanting to get their Plan B going in a big way. So get on it. Time's a-wasting. And you know, just the other day, someone asked me, "Johnny, what's the difference between a prepper and a preparer?" Well, I'd say a prepper is a kind of person who does have a plan, but it's a plan A on steroids. In other words, he thinks there's going to be some rough times, but it's going to swing back around to normal again. So a prepper is an optimistic dreamer, whereas a preparer, like I hope all of you are, is a realist. You've got a plan B. You don't even try to resist the negative things that are happening or even try to buck the direction of the system at all. Instead, you follow the path of least resistance to a place like Latin America where change will be minimal. So I hope most of you are well along on your Plan B now, and if you're not, do sign up for my January seminar. That webpage was just activated a few hours ago, and already the seminar is one-third filled. Don't miss out on this or the pre- and post-John Galt trips either. And of course, don't forget to go to my YouTube channel. We're improving it all the time. Follow along, learn a few things, and get a few laughs out of it. And finally, for your listeners out there who are interested in doing a phone or a Skype consult with me, of course, that's something I do charge for. I'd like to mention that if you do the phone consult and come down to the seminar, I'll hand the cash back to you as soon as you arrive. So effectively, the phone consult will be free.
South of the border.
You've been listening to the Expat Files, living in Latin America, coming to you twice a week from somewhere south of the border. Email me, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. And if you want me to help you sort out your own Latin American plans, schedule a one-on-one consult with me. Just send an email and let me know at theexpatfiles@gmail.com. Nos vemos.